Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. I bet you anybody here who has ever set out to serve the Lord and then you really had an event in which you messed up, your faith was just kind of less real to you right then. You begin to entertain doubt and fear and failure and all of that. Do you think that's what God wants? Or does he want us not to blow it off, but not to be afraid? Say, this signals something I need to be afraid of. Oh, maybe it's not going to work out. Maybe, maybe, maybe. And then the devil is just going to fill you with all kinds of maybes. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Why? How can I do that? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, our weaknesses. Think about that. Whatever you have gone through, whatever you have done, whatever you have fallen into, do you think the Lord just doesn't understand? Oh, he's been here. He knows. He didn't ever give in to it, but he knows the pull. He knows the pressure from the enemy. He understands exactly how people feel. He walked among sinners and showed mercy, didn't he? Thank God. All right? He's not able to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. So now what's the consequence? What's the result of that? Let us then approach God's throne. Is that not what the Lord wants us to do when we mess up? Do we, like the old song, hang around another day? Sit around another day and mope and feel bad and I've got to do this, I've got to do that? We just come. We come. We come freely. Freely. That's his promise. The devil will tell you anything but what God has promised. And that's the very moment we need if we're walking in victory. Victory means I messed up, but I have a place I can go right now. Right now. I don't have to wait. Let us then approach God's throne out of grace with confidence. Oh boy. How does it feel when you've messed up? Are you filled with confidence? If your confidence is based upon you and your ability, your strength, your rightness, your perfection, you got a problem. So do I. But I'll tell you, I've got full confidence in Jesus. I've got full confidence in God's plan because Jesus did not come into the world to condemn. He came to save. And his blood absolutely took away the sins of the world. We have every right to come. So then, as we've often use this verse, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. So what are we looking for? All right? So that we may receive mercy. Now that's the first thing I need. Oh God, I need you to help me even though I don't deserve it, could never deserve it. But yet here you're telling me I can go to the highest authority in the universe and my expectation is that you're going to show me mercy. Now, again, if I'm going there and I secretly want to continue to do what I've been doing and that's really where my heart's going, I'm not really coming for the right reason, am I? I may go through a form, but I'll tell you, if God sees the heart of the weakest saint, the smallest child, physically or spiritually, who comes to him with an honest heart saying, oh God, I need you. I need you to show me mercy. That's what he's promised. And we need to take this in our heart and speak it out with our lips, because the devil will condemn. He will accuse. If we let him accuse us, that's the opportunity. When we have messed up, he will absolutely jump in your case and accuse you as long as you listen. And it's not a matter of saying, no, I'm not guilty, no, I didn't. Yes, I am, but Jesus died and he calls me to himself and he offers me mercy. I'm going to lift my eyes from my feelings, from my circumstances, from just wallowing in all of my defeat and all of my shame and all of that stuff. I'm going to lift them up and I'm going to look at Jesus. If you're looking at your defeat, that's kind of where you're going to stay. But God wants us to learn to lift up. Oh, but I can't. I'm so unworthy. I'm so ashamed. Oh, God, I told him, I promised him I'd never do that again. I'd never go there again. That's when I need help. That's the point where I need mercy. But it's not just mercy. He's not just saying, oh, I still love you. You're still mine. It goes beyond mercy and to find grace to help us in our time of need. I don't just need God's favor in a vague sense where I still love you, don't worry. That's true enough. I need divine power that lifts me up and gives me the ability to make the choices that I need to make. See, it's wonderful for God to say, hey, I've given you a body and a mind and all that, and you're in charge. Okay, and how do I do that? Well, I'm going to have divine life in here. That's what salvation is all about. It starts with God coming to live on the inside, giving us a new you and a new me. But if we're still living in the energy of the old you and me, it ain't going to work. We need that new life that he has promised, that there's going to be an infusion of divine strength, God's power at work saving unworthy sinners. That's what grace is. And we need to take this to the throne of God, this promise. Look the devil in the eye, as the song says, and declare, he has forgiven me. So victory in this circumstance is not, you can see how it's not perfection. It's not, I never mess up. Oh, I'm ruling over everything and I'm just living in victory and praise God, everything is going great. It doesn't work that way all the time, does it? But victory is what we do when we do mess up. And God has the answer, doesn't he? Come to him, confess, believe, seek him, come confidently to the throne, and there is mercy and there is grace to help us in our time of need. Why would God allow? Let's just go back over this a second. Why would God allow us to go through all of those things? And I think you know the answer. How else am I going to learn? How else am I going to learn? I mean, the admonitions in Scripture have all... Why do the writers say, you know, don't go to sleep. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't do this, don't do that. You need to be alert. Watch out, be careful. Don't go to sleep. All of those things are tendencies that we have. And the Lord will allow us to go through things so that we can learn, hey, I can't do that like Paul did in Romans 7. I need to understand something about me and how he wants me to live. And I thought I had a handle on it. I thought I was handling this, and I discovered, oh, no, you don't. We learn more, I think, most of the time through our failures than we do through what we call successes. That's the reality. I mean, there were things that I had to stop and learn and learn this week. Anybody else here? Yes. Yeah. I had to realize, hey, we're talking about living in victory, and I wasn't exactly victorious in that situation. What we need to be doing is saying, okay, Lord, help me here. Why did that happen? What is it that you're trying to teach me in this? Did you allow me that to experience to make me fearful or to lose confidence or in any way to discourage me? Or was it to teach me something that I needed to learn in order to grow and be more victorious? Again, you see Paul's picture of, you know, I'm not there yet, but he has brought me to a place where I have learned that it's possible to leave the past in the past. Many times that's the thing the Lord's trying to teach us. You still got something here that you haven't let me heal. And doesn't that lesson, by the way, deal with some of that? So this whole process we're learning is not a one and done. It's a technique. It's a way of addressing living victoriously. But living victoriously means we're going to discover ongoing needs. We're going to discover things that still need to be worked out. And we know where to go. We know what our enemy does and how he works. And we know the promises of God. And we know that we can go to him because the foundation stands sure. No devil in hell can attack that foundation successfully. All he can do is to get our eyes off of it and just out here trying to flounder in our own strength. But living victoriously certainly means going to God and saying, Lord, help me to understand. What are you trying to teach me in this? Give me a heart that's willing to listen, willing to humble myself and learn, and then take the tools that you've given to me and use them to move forward so that I can literally close the door on yesterday and say, thank you, Lord. I've learned something about serving you, and now I'm going to look forward. I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to look to you. That's what living in victory is. It's not, again, never making a mistake, never falling in the mud. You will. But absolutely do not ever give in to fear. Do not ever give in to discouragement, but look up and trust in him. Hard not to think about Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, familiar scripture. Therefore, and again, he's talking, the therefore refers back to all the testimonies of saints over the years and how God faithfully brought them through all kinds of circumstances. Therefore, in light of that, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what are we supposed to do? What does victory look like? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So here you're still dealing with sin. You're living in victory and dealing with sin. The question is, how do we deal with it? All right? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and do what? Let us run with perseverance. Perseverance is what? What is perseverance? Persistence. Never giving up. Putting one foot in front of the other, even when it's not easy. You keep on keeping on, as this expression goes. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for somebody who will, when they mess up, they don't just give up, but they get up.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.